Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano. Yeah!
A lot of people want to get in. We have a lot to set up, so I'm coming to you. We have Dom's Money Melody coming up, and Jaime's in the news, and our buddy Wally Zimmelong, if you missed it at the top of the show, 12:30, big-time attorney, federal attorney, meeting with judges tomorrow on an attempt to rein in this out-of-control commissioner with the Mr. Softy truck headed to the prison with nobody able to see what they're doing when it comes to voters. Brings up the question, are people that progressive and deranged in Montgomery County that they want their vote canceled out by a bunch of people who are in jail? I mean, should you be allowed to be voting from jail? I know the whole thing, felon, second chance. I think maybe a year you're on purgatory. Then if everything's okay, you can go back to voting. But who is it actually that's going to be able to vote in that county prison legally? What are they doing all this for? Because this guy is pushing the envelope, and then he's going to lecture about misinformation, disinformation, and all the rest of it. So we have Al Schmidt on the show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I'm going to ask him about all this stuff. If you have a question, an area, send it to me. And again, it's a good thing to bring him on. He likes it. He wants to communicate his point of view. We asked them, bring up some of the areas that you want us to know about. Happy to do that. But we want to ask some questions also about things like this. So Wally is on it. You can say, come on, is this all you got? You worried about an ice cream truck? It's just outrageous. Stop lecturing about we're concerned with the sanctity of the election. That's right. And then continue to do stunts like this. All right. We also mentioned this ongoing battle with the McDonald's over in Feasterville and Jaime's out there on Montgomery Avenue, I want to say, Main Line. Just a great location. All right, my guys have been talking to Lou Barston. I think he's traveling, flying. We'll see if he'll come on. Dan, you went on the Facebook page of Lower Marion. Rich said he had been on there. And some people are complaining about how dare they be there. Some are complaining the depiction of the women that are involved. They think it's stereotypical.
Yeah, there's a lot of, it's about 70-30. It's a lot of political arguments. Is Trump anti-Semitic? It's horrible that Trump did this. There's an ad out of Jaime's. How could Jaime's do this? But there's some, like this comment from Jamie, who writes, I'm repeating myself here, but growing up, we were loyal to Jaime's. Started when it was owned by brothers who were Holocaust survivors. The place improved when the Barson family took over. My mom ate at Barson's Deli when she was a kid. Jaime's has been a favorite of my family for decades. But here's my opinion. As a Jewish woman of a certain age, the ad was an affront with awkward stereotypes of Jews. It's an embarrassment to me, and it makes me sad.
Some of them think that Trump is anti-Semitic.
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's surprising commentary, all right? Because I think, if anything, we know where the anti-Semitic arguments often come from, where the mob is on the other side that are anti-Israel at best.
Laurie writes, someone commented the other day that Trump is anti-Semitic. I doubt that's true. His son-in-law, his daughter, and his grandchildren are Jewish. That would make for a very tense family dynamic if he was anti-Semitic. Why are Jews supporting Democrats when they have party members that are protesting against Jews in Israel and are supporting Palestine?
Or more, I mean, the argument when Kamala Harris the other day told the pro-Gaza mob that was screaming at her, you'll be escorted out, but I understand your point. What point did she understand?
And some of it's not Trump's anti-Semitic, but it's that it's a dog whistle, and he enables those who are anti-Semitic. Like a comment from Megan says, I don't understand why anyone thinks Trump will help keep anyone in a minority group safe. I'm going to start recording things directly people are saying to me that they feel safe to say around me because they think my physical appearance implies I'd lean towards their thinking. But oh my God, I can't repeat or wouldn't dare to say what I hear. Mm-hmm. So much of it honestly scares me. Now, I don't believe all Republicans feel that way, but I do believe the extremists that hang on Trump's every word and ignore his whose blatant lies and hateful acts are 100% out to see the country become their idea of an America that reflects what they see in a mirror. When the mics are off and the audience is what they consider pure, they don't pretend otherwise.
Well, I would say in answer to her, and anybody's welcome to call in to post anything about Heimes or has been there, I would say to her, look at the evidence of what the Democrat Party has had to put up with to keep their base going. The Hamas supporters, the college campuses, the sheer anti-Israel, anti-Semitic stuff that is no doubt. We see it every day. So to that person who wrote, okay, that's what you're hearing. I would argue that's a kind of tired stereotype of the Republican Party. Look at where the energy is on this. It's certainly with, even in Michigan, Democrats are on the ropes because of people that want you to believe Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Let me go to, whose ad is this, Dan?
It's the Heimes ad, if you wanted to hear.
Oh, yeah, let's hear the Heimes ad, yeah.
Did you watch the news lately? Israel's under attack, anti-Semitism like I never thought I would see.
Did you hear about Samantha's boy, Max?
No.
He got spit on just walking at Penn.
I mean, that's scary. What about Kamala?
Busy defending the squad.
You know, Trump I never cared for, but at least he'll keep us safe.
Mm-hmm. I never voted Republican in my life, but I am voting Trump.
Amen. RJC Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this message.
Boy, all that out of this short ad and how they figured out it was Heimes. All right, let's go to Richard, who just left Heimes and had a great lunch. That's a start. All right, Richard, what would you say the signature dish? The corned beef and Heimes?
Well, the pot pastrami is very good, but I had lox and bagel.
Are you a lox guy, Dom?
No, not at all.
I went on a search for it the other day. I couldn't find it, so I guess I got to go to Heimes now.
Yeah, there you go.
It's interesting. I had run in 2011 in Bala Cynwyd with Lou Barson, was in the adjoining district for the township commissioner office. And I actually had a move. I had lived there 25 years. We raised our kids there in Bala. And after the election, I had a move, and Lou got a lot of guff after the fact and during the election. It was actually quite nasty.
Well, what's happening with this, Richard? What do you think of what's going on with Heimes now?
It's the same people. Now, Heimes was very busy. I don't see if they're trying the boycott, it's not working. Everybody was friendly. Everybody was nice. It was the usual Heimes that I've known for 30 years. And it's the same people that ran me out of the out of town and gave him such a hard time. It's just very nasty for someone who is working for one position north of a dog catcher.
Yeah,
it was awful.
I hear you, Richard. Who's your celebrity with one name?
I have a bad one. It's just Napoleon.
Okay, it's a very good one. Napoleon complex, the whole thing. Napoleon, you talk about comebacks. Why didn't they, you know, take him out? They sent him to an island. He comes back. They sent him to an island. I think it was the third time he didn't come back. But, yes, Napoleon.
Not a great comeback.
Napoleonic law, Napoleonic.
Does it demean or lessen a comeback when your last comeback is not a good comeback?
No, I'm shocked. After the stuff that he did as a dictator, how many wars he had going on around the world, Dan. The only thing that stopped him was the Russian winter. Ultimately, it stops everybody. They all think, nah, it's fiction. Let's go to Joe in Westchester. Joe on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Joe, what's your one name person? Yes.
Okay, it's Ike. I'm old enough to remember. I was born in 47.
That's a good one. Everybody loves Ike Eisenhower, who is a president. There were some good things, but yeah, Ike. Coming out of it. People don't know it today as much, but it was big. Let's try Jim in the Northeast, Talk Radio 1210. All right, Jim, what's yours?
Mine makes me hungry when I think about him, and he would do anything for love. John, it's
Meatloaf, yes. All-time great. I don't know about the music, but character. Without a doubt.
It's such a great lead into.
Just, all right, Dan, this leads us into Dom's Money Melody.
It's Dom's Money Melody.
Has all the money gone?
Today, we're playing for a pair of tickets to see the Brubeck Brothers Quartet on November 2nd at the Zlock Performing Arts Center, the campus of Bucks County Community College, one of our favorite spots for Talk Radio 1210 events. Dan?
Yeah, Don. Today, we're going to do a cover song by somebody with one name that's been mentioned on the show already, not by any of us, so that's a little clue there. Today, okay. Don, we're doing a song that is definitely not about drugs. Do you think Puff the Magic Dragon is a song about drugs, Dom?
Yes.
No, it's not. Believe it or not.
Well,
1964 Newsweek magazine article ran a cover story about hidden drug references in popular music, highlighting Puff the Magic Dragon and all of the details. I'll get into it after the song.
Okay.
But Dom, it came from a newspaper article there. They asked Leonard Lipton, the poet who originally wrote it, and he wrote it on the campus of Cornell in 1959, where he says no one smoked marijuana, so it wasn't even on his mind when he wrote it, and said it's disgusting to think that you'd want to propagandize that to children. But there is a good case for it still. I'll get into that afterwards. But Dom, today we're playing a cover of Puff the Magic Dragon, looking for that one named individual who's doing the cover. Take a listen.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolee. Little Jackie Baker loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff.
I think pretty good cover.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
So distinctive voice, yeah.
We're looking for the one-name singer there doing the cover song. And Dom, you heard the song there. And this is the argument for of it being a marijuana song. It's in China, Chasing the Dragon was a well-established reference to inhaling narcotic vapor. The name of Puff's friend, Jackie Paper, identified as a reference to rolling paper. Phrase by the sea means, you know, they were saying on Newsweek, by the sea, letter C for cocaine. Autumn mists evoking the song, they're saying, represent marijuana smoke. Land of Honolulu, they're saying, was a thinly veiled reference to the area around the Hawaiian village of Honolulu, where a particularly potent strain of weed was grown. But Leonard Lipton again denies all of that and says it's nope, just a song about a guy or a kid growing old. Dom, we're just looking for the cover artist today. One named cover artist of Puff the Magic Dragon.
All right, it's 855-839-1210. Hit us with that and you're off to the Zlock, not the land of Honolulu or whatever they say. It is a drug rep. Come on, there's too many coincidences in there, I think. 855-839-1210.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That's right. Every day around 12 or so, we have Dom's Money Melody for a great prize. Dan, let's hear the clue today. Looking for the cover artist.
Cover artist. And a little extra clue, Dom. How about this guy? Was once married to one of the most desirable women in the world. I'll put that out there. Take a listen.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
Not about drugs, Dom. Nope.
Little All right, let's go to Tony in Delco. They sing a song in Delco. It's like the national anthem, I think. Tony? Tony, who's covering that song?
I may be wrong here, but I think it's Donovan.
No, that's isn't Not Donovan Brand isn't Donovan Brandy?
Huh?
She was a fine girl. Brandy.
Oh, No, that was
it was a one word person. I think it was Donovan.
Brandy was a Looking Glass.
It was a one word musician, I thought. No?
Looking Glass.
Oh, Looking Glass. Okay. Yeah. Bruce in the Northeast. Bruce, welcome in. Who is it?
Hey, Dom, how you doing? Yeah, Brandy, you're a fine girl. That was Looking Glass. We're the wild guess here. Sting.
That's who I thought it was, too. All right, thank Bruce. Sal in Malvern. Sal, who is it?
Yarrow?
Who?
Yarrow? I heard of some. Did you ever hear this guy called Yarrow?
No.
All right, quickly here. We got a lot of.
I'm just going to throw it out there. He did a song in the 90s, Dom, for Batman that really set him apart from most other people. He's also known for very specific facial features and, again, was married at one point to one of the most desirable women in the
entire
world.
Who was
the woman? A supermodel who also served as a judge on America's Got Talent.
Okay, let's go to Chuck next in Paoli. Chuck, who is it?
Seal.
All right, very nice. Who was he married to, Dan?
Heidi Klum.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay. Seal. covering that song, and originally it was by...
It was a poem, actually. Yeah, it was actually a poem that came out of Cornell, and then right. It was picked up and made very famous by, as you just said, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Okay, perfect. All right,
three unnamed individuals.
Yes, headed off to the Zlock. That's the side question today. By the way, I mentioned early on today this ad. Now, maybe National Review is going too far. There's a ton of ads out there. It's entitled, you don't need to hear it really, Nonsense. And it opens with what appears to be a parody. It's that famous clip of Kamala Harris supporting taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners. The ad continues for illegal aliens. It's a grand slam for Republicans, says National Review. You got the left-wing cultural nonsense, waste of taxpayer money, coddling criminals and illegal immigration, all in one 30-second ad. I still think this whole idea of Harris not giving up, she's giving up on everything else. Obviously, lying about fracking, but she claims to have given up on it. This is the one area with the Bret Baier interview and constantly where she won't backpedal, that she thinks this is the law. We have a duty to do this. What about transgender rights? It's amazing to me. It's a toxic, radioactive issue. If America believes this and sees it enough, it is a game changer. That's the point they're making with this ad. By the way, in this San Jose State University with the transgendered player versus Nevada, Nevada is now saying the volleyball match, which none of the women in Nevada want to play, or some of them don't at least, will now be held at San Jose State. In other words, Nevada has the home court advantage. It's a home match, and they want to play it at San Jose State. The reason being, it's so toxic in Nevada. I'm convinced that the reason, Dan, too, is what is Nevada? A swing state. They're calling attention to, they're giving up a home game and saying, we're going to play this game, and it will be at San Jose State in California, obviously. This is how crazy this administration is. Even though the majority, at least, of the team and some women on San Jose State are in opposition to this because of this transgendered woman or male who is spiking the ball, going crazy, doing that. So there we go. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. And this is a UN study about when we're told by people like Martha Raddatz. Remember Martha Raddatz, only a handful. When we're told, what's the big deal with these female athletes lose? It's not common to see this. UN report says by 30th of March, 2024, over 600 female athletes in more than 400 competitions have lost more than 890 medals in 29 different sports. Talking about the incidents that have happened. Now, this is worldwide, of course, that the replacement of the female sports category with a mixed-sex category has resulted in increasing number of female athletes losing opportunities, including medals when competing against males. Rather than safety, that's one of the biggest things to me. And now the LPGA is allowing a transgendered male to compete in qualifying to be on the LPGA tour. And that person has made it through one stage. If they get on the LPGA tour, it's guesstimated they will have a 30% advantage in driving distance. I mean, there's a reason why, and I'm not being disparaging of females. Dan and I were kidding. Luke and I played with these kids, really good high school players. They were playing from the blue tees. We were playing from the white. It was like a 25-yard difference. Dan, even then, they were close to outdriving us. And we were hitting the ball pretty well. The women's tees, the red tees, I don't even know how many yards more up they are. So what's the reason for that? Because there's that big of a difference. Picture somebody outdriving women on the LPGA tour by 25 to 30 yards almost every time. Let's see what happens. Let's see how far that goes if this person gets on the pro tour. And let's say they started to win. Let's see if is that what it takes. Maybe they should be in the WNBA. 6'10" Dan Borowski should be playing. Well, I added a few inches of height there. Sorry about that, but you know, you get the point. Or somebody really good. I think Allen Iverson could come out of retirement. Henry, what do you think, and score 40 in the WNBA? Maybe 50.
Yeah, probably pretty easily.
Pretty easily. Yeah. I think.
How far do you drive?
If hit well, in the 250 to 260 range.
All right, Nelly Korda, average drive distance 267.
Yeah, they're the top level, but Dan, this
Michelle Wee, 274.
Right, but this person, though, is a scratch golfer male.
Yeah.
They could probably carry it 280 to 300.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you start hitting it out there continuously that way, and that's, I can't imagine, you know, better players on the pro tour, what they would do.
I feel like women are better putters than men, though, no?
They're not.
No?
That's the thing.
Really? No,
they're not
statistically. With their precise nature. I mean, men are oafy, like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but it's a competitive thing. To be a top putter on the pro tour, a men's, you got to be unbelievable, and you're used to competing against it. I thought that, too. I've seen several studies saying not. Though.
Really?
I mean,
yeah.
But think of Allen Iverson, since this is Philadelphia. I could just see him coming down the court still. Blowing right past these people. And then he would be among the bigger players out there. He would think, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. You're trying to guard him. He's determined to go to the basket on you. And he's been out of the NBA, what, 10 years? Doing God knows what.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Take somebody who's only just last year or so in the NBA.
Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah.
Random player.
Random player. Yeah, they'd score 25 to 30 points pretty easily. All right, so 855-839-1210.
They did a movie on this.
On what?
You know, what you're talking about.
The Juana Man?
Yes.
Okay. Hit us on the side question. Got a couple of other updates. And if you've been to the McDonald's or Hymie's, let me know. Hymie's seems to be doing pretty well. One other comment I neglected to play, and I'm seeing KJP address it here. Here's President Biden talking about, this is cut 11. Listen to what he says about what should be done to Donald Trump. Now, you know what, Dan? He takes so long. Let's play the Waters one. Really, it's brutal.
It really
the guy really, it's brutal.
It's a lot of silence.
Yeah, let's play cut 9. Here's Jesse Waters talking about Biden saying, let's lock Trump up.
Oh, if that doesn't work, Biden has a better idea.
Thinks he has a right under the Supreme Court ruling on immunity to be able, if need be, if it was the case, to actually kill someone who is he believes to be a threat to him. I mean, so I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up.
That's where the crowd wants there. Now, it's going to be interesting. Molly Hemingway, I'm not going to play this part, made a great point last night. I think it was on with Brett Baer. This lawfare on Trump has backfired. Every time they go down this path, it doesn't work. Every time they punish him, more people rally to him. So what are they going to try now? He's going to kill the country, death of democracy. Hitler, we're back to that again. And this is a very coordinated effort with the Atlantic, the family that they say that Trump impugned when they were in service to the country. They've already come out against the Atlantic article today. They're looking at defamation, and I think they would win. Then you have General Kelly, and you have a bunch of others, and you're going to hear almost nonstop this over the next week. You're going to try to see if this sticks all around. Trump is going to be Hitler. Trump is going to be a fascist. By the way, you know, we don't want to get into the weeds, but this whole idea of fascism is the government control of industry. Is Trump about that, or is he the ultimate capitalist? That would be more what Democrats want to do. I'm not calling them fascist, but that's what fascists do. The government can control industry better than private business. That's Mussolini. That's what that's about. All right, so 855-839-1210. You jump on board. We're going to get to the side question and a bunch of other stuff on Talk Radio 1210. Dan O'Show, welcome in. So we've had on the Republican commissioner of Philadelphia, the minority commissioner, Seth Bluestein, who, you know, we get along with. He comes on the show. He's in a battle with Elon Musk. And I don't know if Elon Musk overstated the number of people that are registered or were registered in 2020 from this homeless shelter in Philadelphia. But I would say this, the response to Musk about this shows you the flaws in this with drop boxes, et cetera, where I'm seeing various numbers. Elon Musk said 5,200 voted from there or ballots were sent there in 2020 election. The answer is Bluestein wrote on X, there were not 5,200 in the 2022 general, fewer than 150 ballots were mailed there. He told the Inquirer on Wednesday, though, Dan, here's a number here. Maybe we will get him on. We have Al Schmidt tomorrow. I think I can address it with him. There are 2,200 people registered to vote from that address. Now, here's the dilemma here. Again, Elon Musk might be off with that original thing. You got 2,200 people from this one address. Who's monitoring this when they're voting and those ballots are going there?
Who are you to think that 2,200 people don't live in it, Dom?
Right. And these are homeless people, et cetera. What's the form of identification? Who do they have? And this brings us back to the whole thing. Let's keep his name in abeyance for tomorrow, Dan. Maybe we'll have a doubleheader. Because I want to ask him, who's monitoring this, though? These 2,200, are they going to drop boxes? Are these people taking it individually and mailing it themselves? Is one person there at this, it's called Brother Love, I think, the Inquirer says. Are they able to then, are they certified that they can carry those 2,200 ballots? What about the ballots that are not used? How do we know that this is at? And 2,200 from the one spot? So maybe Elon Musk overshot with the 5,200. But Seth, who's talking to the Inquirer, says 2,200 people are registered to vote at the organization's Broad Street address. Now, if this doesn't open up, this is ripe to abuse. We all know the film with Dinesh. Okay, we've had him on. We did that whole thing. All right. There are people going to those drop boxes, putting in more than one ballot. We got to go through the legal procedures against. First of all, we have too many drop boxes. We should have no drop boxes, but obviously we have too many. And this whole thing, 2,200 people from one address, who's getting it there? And are all, think of the chaos, Dan, 2,200 homeless people in one address. People coming, the sanctity of the ballot here is questionable to me. So we're putting him down. Al Schmidt at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I'm going to ask Al about this, but if we're not getting enough with him directly, then we'll get Seth on. I think he'll come on. He's blithely telling the Inquirer 2,200 people are registered to vote at the organization's Broad Street address. Like, this isn't something, with all due respect, you get something enormous like that, don't you think we ought to have a person assigned to figuring out how this is operated? I mean, who's in charge there? They're not elected officials. Are they going to certify that there's no shenanigans, nothing here? This seems like a faulty system. I mean, I'm telling you, legitimately a faulty system. Do we have to put Linda Kearns on the homeless shelter watch here? How many homeless shelters are there in Pennsylvania like this? What's the number? Al might know that tomorrow. Dan, I bet there could be, smaller than this, there could be upwards of 10 to 15 to 20,000 votes. Mail-in ballots are going off to homeless shelters or places like that. Now, we're in an election where this could be under 20,000 votes. Who knows? It's going to be very close. It would seem to me this is a flaw in the system. I'm trying to be as, you know, buttoned up on this as possible. So we're on it. I mean, meanwhile, Montgomery County is sending a Mr. Softy truck to the prison to get their votes. What are the likelihoods any of them vote? Well, that would be hilarious if they voted for Donald Trump. They're intrigued because of the lawfare against him. People in prison.
Can you play something out with me? Because I've always been curious, and I think it's this way. Like, with this old nursing home, and now we're talking here with the homeless shelter.
Yes.
The people that are registering, the names that are registered, they don't even have to see the ballots for it to be dropped off, essentially, right? Like a person that's sitting in an office can receive this mail.
Right.
Forge, essentially, signatures, drop it in a box if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think it's rife with abuse. Like, what identification?
And again, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying this is happening. I'm just curious.
No,
is
I know
this something
not.
That could happen?
Well, we're saying they don't have a home address. How do they have identification? Now, who's identifying? Who's involved in this?
Yeah.
Isn't this a situation where it needs some tightening up? If you're homeless and you want to vote, this is flawed. I don't want my vote canceled potentially by this. I don't want my vote canceled by people in a Montgomery County prison. So you have people pushing the envelopes here and then screaming at us it's misinformation. Now, I don't think Elon Musk is accurate, per se, 5,200 from the one address in 2020. But here, Seth, who's in charge of voting in Philadelphia, says 2,200 are. So our strategy is going to be this. We have Al Schmidt come on tomorrow. I'm going to ask him about this. If he says, well, he's not, you know, on top of that in Philadelphia, then we'll bring him up and bring him on. Should we not be concerned, to Dan's point, about this? Of course we should. Everybody that's legal, we want them to vote. But we don't want to see people showing up at drop boxes with 10, 20, 100 votes. This has happened. We know it in Georgia, Pennsylvania, in the swing states. All right, let's go to the... let's see, side question today, too. Let's go to Bill in Bucks County. Bill, you were just at the McDonald's. What did you see there?
Well, actually, I'm still here in the parking lot just sipping on a Diet Coke.
Okay.
And I did get an order of Trump fries.
Oh, so. That's what they're calling it. Good, yeah.
Are they tinted
that's
orange?
What I call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything seems to be normal out here except one thing. There are three men dressed in black, wearing body armor, which there looks like they're carrying weapons, which might be similar to a Glock 19. So
yeah, well, you know that fryer is pretty dangerous. Might need the body armor. Yeah, they're private security. To your point. All right, who is the person?
There's three of them out here.
Who's your person, Bill?
Well, you know, I'm from Bucks County, so my person is Alicia Moore, also known as Pink.
All right, there you go. Noted Trump Pink. Hater.
Fantastic singer.
Yeah, she's...
really good voice.
Why is she then doing all that flying in stuff? Is that a Gaga imitator or what? Why is she...
She likes to put on a good show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those things are not...
I think her voice would stand alone if she wanted it.
I think so, too. Yeah. But that's dangerous stuff. I mean, we you know, anything with that can go wrong. All right, let's... All right, let's go to the Earl of Tacony here. Hey, Earl, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. I need to go all zen on you for a moment. Don't listen to what people say. Listen to what people don't say. Remember when Kamala said she worked at McDonald's and said she did it to go through college and she worked there for 3 weeks? So she only went to college for 3 weeks? Or was it only that she worked there for 3 weeks because she wasn't any good at her job and they fired her, that she couldn't handle being the fry cook? No one's asking that question. It's like, why was she only there for 3 weeks? Everyone keeps saying she worked at McDonald's. She did. Don't say that she didn't. But no one's talking about the fact that she admitted that she wasn't there for that long. Did she find a better paying job, or was she just incompetent?
Yeah. And there's no record of this. Nobody remembers. So it's obvious to me this is questionable, to put it mildly. But Trump was able to use this in one of the greatest political theater stunts we've ever seen.
But you were proud of yourself that you came up with Cher as a single person name with only four letters. I'm going to have to try and beat you with that. I'm going to go with someone with a single word name. In fact, one letter. His name is M. He's a British musician. Did the song Pop Music because 80s music is so great. He came out with that song in 1979.
All right, M. I don't have any M knowledge, but that's okay. Dan has it there. Okay. All right.
Great song. Huh?
Yeah.
That's a very obscure one.
Yeah, there, try looking that up. Pop Music M.
Right.
Yeah, try finding that.
All right, it's the lightning round next. We had some great stuff today on this and great guests. And tomorrow, as I said, Al Schmidt in this 2200, Seth. Don't say it as just a given. I mean, we want to be reasonable here, but checks and balances on this, right? Mr. Softy Trucks headed to prison, and we're told misinformation? No, that's what they're doing. Why would we worry about it? Come on. If you want to get buy-in that everything's on the up and up with this, you got to stop this stuff, progressives. You really do. All right, lightning round next, and we'll tell you what's on the show tomorrow. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch up on all the action, because right now FanDuel is going all users 3 months, giving all users 3 months of the NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip-off and buzzer beater, place any $5 bet on the NBA. Great storylines. Sadly, the Sixers tonight. Yeah. Will Maxi go for 30 points? That's what I'm predicting. He needs at least 30 tonight. If you're new to FanDuel.
Sorry, yes. I don't mean to. Yeah. I want to play this out, though. Over under 222.5.
222.5. I take the under.
Jared McCain, 3+3s.
And
no, under. That's no way. Yeah,
please.
Yeah. No way.
He's the man. You'll all see.
And spread +4 for the Sixers.
The Sixers are favored by 4?
No, underdogs by 4.
Underdog by 4? No. No way.
You don't think we're going
to Doc Rivers is coaching the other team, but still, they got nothing tonight.
All right, so under 222.5, -4 for the Bucks.
Right.
And 30-plus points for Maxi, $10 will win you $79.77.
Ah, very nice.
Let's put that down.
All right, and if you're new to FanDuel, just visit FanDuel.com/Dom to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. You can make every moment more at FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. You have to be 21 plus, present in Pennsylvania. After a 3 month trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime, no refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. 1-800-GAMBLER.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Dom's Lightning Round is sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease a 2024 C40 for only $329 per month on a 36-month lease. See store for details. And they always go the extra mile for their customers because relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. All right, today's Pele's birthday. We've been talking about those one-name people that you know it immediately, living or dead, real or fictional. Let's go to Alan in Hamilton. Hello, Alan. Who's yours?
Hello. The teenage idol from South Philadelphia, Fabian.
Oh. That's a very good one. Yeah, Fabian was the only one, I think, that was one name with all those guys. It's a good one.
Dion.
He wasn't from South Philly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. John in Saratoga, Pennsylvania. John, where's Saratoga?
Saratoga is right next to Sanatoga, and it's right next to Limerick.
Ah, all right. Nice golf course up there in Limerick. Okay, John.
You're right. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. My one name is an American legend who single-handedly stymied the U.S. Army, and I was fortunate enough to see his grave in 1968 at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, when I was in the Army, and that is Geronimo.
And what do we say when we jump out of a plane?
Geronimo, as the airborne does.
Oh, come on. More energy, John. Give me more energy.
Yeah, can we go? Let's hear it, John. Come on.
Geronimo.
Come on. Oh, come on, John.
One more time. One more time, John.
Yeah, Geronimo.
Maybe he's in public at a Wawa or something.
It was a great call, though, up until then. Just if he had given us the juice with that. Imagine Joe of Exton yelling Geronimo. Probably being Italian. Joe in Bordentown. Joe, who's yours today?
Mine is Houdini, who once performed before one of my relatives that he said he'd make the palace bells ring. And it was actually his wife shooting an air gun at the bells.
Very nice. I want to believe the legends of Houdini.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that film where they break him out, he's in the tank, and they're trying to get him out. That's pretty good. Chris in Burlington. Who's yours, Chris?
Good afternoon, guys. I never thought you'd have two submissions today, just a single letter, but I'm going a little further up the alphabet with the letter Q from the James Bond franchise.
Very nice. And we should have taken this one off. Bruce, who's yours?
Yeah, she's probably the most popular doll on the planet. That would be Barbie.
Very nice. All right, Henry, give me a couple contenders today. A lot of the field. What did you like?
Yeah, I liked Robert and Ben Salem's answer. A little 2-for-1 with Cheech and Chong.
Yes.
I also liked the way Jay called in and said it. I mean, we're going to make a promo out of it probably. The answer of Dom.
Yes, that was beautiful.
Give Dom one to pick himself.
There you go. Absolutely. All right, Dan.
All right, I'll give Jay and Sewell a nod too. How about Dom? I liked Fabian with the South Philly ties. Geronimo though really got me going with the yelling it loud. So I'll throw my weight behind John and Saratoga with Geronimo.
I like Geronimo too. It was a 2-4.
Geronimo.
He just should have finished it off with Geronimo. All right, that
really
does
weak energy there, Dan.
Yeah, John. You're the winner today. We'll put your name into the hat tepidly. All right, Al Schmidt tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And now we have this breaking Elon Musk versus the Republican commissioner here in Philadelphia. Will Elon Musk open fire on Twitter with 200 million people between now and then? We'll see, and we'll chronicle all of it. Get over to McDonald's. Support that McDonald's in Feasterville. Richie always next. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.